Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
That's so tough. So, Jordan, are you at the spot where you're still looking, or have you found that house and closed the deal?
Oh, I found it and somebody else took it. It was an absolutely perfect house.
I've had buyers even look at, HVA system and be able to pick out the date so they know how old it is. They've been looking at a lot of houses. They've been educating themselves. And I think Jordan did the right thing.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm heard and seen listening to this call as everyone else having the same experience of lowering my expectations, lowering my search. You know, we wanted a 3-bedroom house and we ended up with a 2.
I'm Sarah Fenske. It is a war zone out there, and I'm not talking about crime, not today. I'm talking about the housing market. It's become a dog-eat-dog, brother-against-brother battlefield full of bidding wars and seemingly endless escalating prices. Maggie Lamour has seen that firsthand. She and her family started looking for a new home during the pandemic. She and her husband were both working from home, and they wanted more space.
There wasn't a lot of inventory. A lot of the homes that we saw that we really liked, they were literally getting snapped up like the day they went on the market. So the house we ended up buying, we saw that, I think, a couple of weeks ahead of time. It was a coming soon. You know, we went to see it the day it went on the market. We ended up making an offer over asking that day. It was a multiple offer situation where they ended up not even having the open house the next day because they had multiple offers that first day.
Now, Maggie Lamour and her husband bid $20,000 over asking, and they got the house, which is located in De Pere. Well, then it came time to sell their old home, which is in Valley Park.
Our realtor had kind of advertised it to other realtors that we were going to keep the offer window open for like 2 days. So showing started Saturday morning. We said, okay, we'll accept till Monday at noon. And our showing schedule was completely full Saturday, mostly full Sunday. And by Monday at noon, we had 9 offers on the table, every single one of them over asking price.
And that is Maggie Lamour, who's now of De Pere. So what is a would-be buyer to do in this mess? And what will it take to cool down this overheated market? Joining us today are two real estate professionals with their fingers on the pulse of the St. Louis scene. Gail Brown is the president of Brown Courtkamp Realty. That's located in the city's Fountain Park neighborhood. Gail, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're also joined today by Creighton Brinson. He is a realtor with RE/MAX Gold, and he's based in the Lafayette Square neighborhood. Creighton, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Creighton, let's start with you. How wild is it out there?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, we have agents calling us all the time. Do you have anything coming soon? Do you have anything in this price point? Things of those nature. And we do the same thing with other agents that we know because we have buyers that are always looking for certain things. And many times when they pop on the market, they're just, they're gone pretty quickly.
I've seen open houses get scheduled and the open house is canceled. Even if it's supposed to be 2 or 3 days from now, somebody's already swooped it up. Is that something you've seen?
Yes, we have seen some of that. I don't think it really does the seller any good to do that. I mean, most of the time we try to have several days of viewings, then perhaps an open house. But I've always felt like you should cast the biggest net for your seller. And I think by canceling an open house, that might be a little bit of lazy realtor, perhaps.
Interesting. I'm going to keep that in mind next time I see it. Gail, are you seeing this level of craziness in the St. Louis area market?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My buyers, we were just talking before the show here, and we've been making a lot of offers as real estate professionals, but they're not all getting accepted because ever since October of last year, every offer that I've made, with exception of one, has been a multiple offer situation.
Everyone except one.
Everyone except one. And I've seen, you know, 10, 20, 30. And the last one that I did in Illinois actually went $81,000 over the purchase price. And we didn't get it because we only went $60,000 over the purchase price. So it is a crazy market out here.
You only went $60,000 over. Who would have thought in St. Louis those would be words we'd hear? $81,000 over ended up being the bid there that won. Creighton, can you top that? Have you heard of anything even higher than $81,000 over?
We had an offer, a small carriage house that was on the market last December, and we had it on the market for 3 days, all showing slots taken, open houses. The whole nine yards. We had 14 offers. It was priced under $300,000. Only one offer was less than $300,000, and the highest offer, which the seller did not go with, was $375,000. It was priced at $285,000.
Wow. Yeah. So that is way over. Why did the seller not go with that offer?
Well, that particular seller liked to look at the buyers individually, the amount of money down.
So there's a lot of factors here beyond just total price.
There are a lot of factors that go into it, just not the price itself.
So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those factors because it is intriguing how some of that has played into this. But I got to ask, Gail, are people who are trying to buy right now, are your clients getting frustrated?
Yes, they are. Very much so. In fact, I have had some of my clients decide, I'm going to wait till this market cools down a little bit before I enter this market, because after losing, you know, in multiple offer situations because they didn't have the cash or the capital to overbid the $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, they worked very hard to accumulate the cash for the down payment and closing costs but didn't have the extra. And plus, the sellers are requiring that you get rid of a lot of your contingencies that you would have, and they did not want to risk their building inspection contingencies, because if they forego that contingency, then they could have problems later on down the road. So I'm seeing that a lot.
People are just opting out. Creighton, are you seeing that as well? People are giving up.
Well, some are. I think sometimes they have to lose a few to get really serious with it. We can only advise to the best of our ability, but ultimately they're the ones that make the offer.
Right. You're letting them drive this. You're just going to tell them, here's what we've learned.
Yeah.
Well, once in a while you say, I think you're low.
Yeah.
Does that get through? Yeah. I think you're low. You might want to throw in more money here.
Right. And then Sarah, also, I have one of my buyers who was qualified for $175,000, but he wasn't able to get those properties in that price range. And so he decided to reduce the amount of house that he was going to bid on. So he ended up going for a property that was $150,000, but ended up bidding $175,000.
So he had to adjust his expectations.
He had to adjust his expectations. And also, I would encourage people to, you know, look at that diamond in the rough, you know, properties that have been on the market for a minute, rather than trying to get the brand new property that it's going to be a feeding frenzy. Everybody's going to be looking at that new property.
We heard from a number of our listeners who had thoughts on this on social media. Liz writes on Facebook, I sold and bought a home in St. Louis City this spring. The first offer I made on a house was $16,000 over ask, and I didn't get it. I think the house had 15 offers in 5 days. I ended up buying the second house I bid on, and I got a competitive price. Definitely could have ended worse. There's someone it worked for. Jessica writes on Facebook, we've been looking since January. So far, we've lost three houses with bids averaging $30,000 over asking. Each time, we've learned that the, quote, winning offer is at least $40,000 over asking in cash. After so much disappointment, we're pausing our search until the market cools off. And if you're listening to this conversation and this has been your life, we want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at STL on air. You can also email us at talk@stlpr.org. We have a few real estate professionals who may have insight into your situation. We actually have a caller here ready to join us now. Jordan is calling from Brentwood. Jordan, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
Oh my gosh, is this a call-in contest? Did I just win a house?
I only wish I had that to offer you. Are you getting frustrated, Jordan, with this the housing market out there?
Absolutely, yeah. I started my search probably, well, the beginnings of it was over a year ago, and took a break because it was starting to get hot then. And if you weren't ready to pull the trigger right then and there, you were left in the dust, which is where I was. So I got things in order, checked out my finances, and then restarted it just a couple months ago in March and April. And I mean, same situation. If you weren't ready to pull on the decision right away, then you were left in the dust. And luckily, I was ready this time. But it's a huge decision, especially being a first-time home buyer, which I am.
Oh yeah, so first-time home buyer, and people are asking you to almost make a decision overnight. Do you feel like you can do that at
absolutely.
This point, Jordan?
So the house. Well, I'm being a little idealistic, where it's such a huge amount of money that I don't want to settle for anything right now. I might be fatigued going further in my search, and that might have to change. But for right now, yeah, those split-second decisions are you have to make them.
Boy, that's
overnight or over an afternoon.
That's so tough. So, Jordan, are you at the spot where you're still looking, or have you found that house and closed the deal?
Oh, I found it and somebody else took it. it was an absolutely perfect house for me, room to grow in. It had everything, absolutely everything on my checklist. And I was the fourth best offer.
Oh.
I offered $35,000 over asking, waived the appraisal, but I kept the inspection.
And was that maybe part of what made yours not the best offer, that you still wanted that inspection?
I absolutely believe that, yeah. I'm sure the sellers got an all-cash, almost as-is deal. I mean, to no fault of their own. But
right.
As a first-time home buyer, there are certain things that I don't want to give up right now.
Jordan, thank you for sharing that experience. Boy, that sounds frustrating. And Creighton, that idea of giving up a home inspection, I mean, you're putting so much money into this house. What if you get a lemon? There's no way to know that without an inspection, is there?
Well, there's no way to know that for sure. But we've had more buyers go out there and they really look at the house hard. They've looked at so many that buyers are better educated than they've ever been. I've had buyers even look at, you know, HVA system and be able to pick out the date so they know how old it is. They've been looking at a lot of houses. They've been educating themselves. And I think Jordan did the right thing. Get your finances in order. Get all the paperwork that you need to your mortgage lender. So all you need is an accepted contract. And you've put your best foot forward.
Gail, this idea of waiving the inspection, I mean, Creighton makes a good argument here. It still makes me queasy.
Yeah, it makes me queasy as well, because I've seen some real expensive repairs come up with the building inspection. Some things that you definitely can't see when you're walking through the house, especially like the sewer lateral.
Yes.
I've had a sewer lateral that cost a family $11,000 to correct, a seller $11,000 to correct that. And when you're going into a house, and especially as a first-time home buyer, you may not have those reserves to make all of those repairs, and you don't want to get yourself in trouble because you're making a mortgage and then trying to make these repairs. So there's some times where it's worth getting the inspection and walking away. So I always tell my buyers, I am not an inspector. I don't know electrical. I don't know plumbing. I don't know HVAC. So if you're looking for me to guidance, I'm going to leave that to the professionals. So I always encourage them to get that building inspection. But I do know that in this market, there are some that's doing that. I just feel uncomfortable.
Jordan, I hope you're still there. If I can go back to you for a minute here, I want to thank you for sharing that experience. As you look at this, I mean, you had the house you wanted and it got away. Do you feel ready to plunge back in and try again? Or does that feel like you just proposed to somebody and they said no?
Oh, it absolutely, well, it absolutely does, yeah.
So that's a dark way to put it. I didn't mean to go there.
No, but it is, it does. I kind of feel like dating in a way, where you go around to all these different houses and first impressions, and but in this situation, you don't really have time to get a second date. You have to make the decision right away. So I am starting to go back into the search. Took some time off because I was seeing 4, 5, 6 houses a week. And it was just exhausting and a little disheartening as well.
Well, Jordan, we wish you the best of luck. I hope I speak for our realtor guests here. I believe that right one is out there.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Thank you.
And we're going to have to take a quick break here, but we are talking about the overheated St. Louis real estate market. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a good story, we're at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at STL on Air. And we're talking today to Creighton Brinson, a realtor with RE/MAX Gold, as well as Gail Brown, the president of Brown Court Camp Realty. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome back. Before we return to our conversation, I have a quick programming note. On Monday's show, we're tackling another big topic, the potentials and the pitfalls of post-COVID work culture. And we need your help, whether you've been mulling this as an employer or an employee. So have you been working at home during this pandemic? How do you feel about returning to the office? And if you're the boss, how do you think it's gone for employees? Whether you're remote or essential or some sort of hybrid, we want to know how you feel about it. Leave us a voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 314-516-6397. That is our dedicated voicemail line. And again, that number is 314-516-6397. And now back to our conversation. We're talking about the ridiculously hot housing market in the metro area right now. And my guests are Gail Brown. She's the president of Brown Court Camp Realty, which is located in the city's Fountain Park neighborhood. And Creighton Brinson, a realtor with RE/MAX Gold, based in the Lafayette Square neighborhood. We have a lot of callers who want to join us. Before we get to them, Gail, one thing I did want to ask you about, is this an equally hot market everywhere? Or are there some parts of the city that have been kind of left behind in this really overheated situation we're in?
Yeah. I was just looking at the numbers the other day, and I do think that some of your northern city and some of your northern county markets have been left behind. Mm-hmm. You're seeing maybe a small bump, but not the bump that you're seeing in some of the central and western corridors of our city and county. So that, you know, if the market wasn't hot in those areas before, then just because there's lack of inventory doesn't mean that it's automatically going to make that market hot and have that great appreciation. But, you know, there is a small bump, but there are still, in my opinion, some inequities that are there. And because of that, you know, there is some loss of wealth, if you will. And the issue that I have with that is that, you know, as sellers move and try to compete in this market, if they're not getting a similar bump, the question is, where do they go? And that keeps a lot of properties off the market because, you know, they're saying, well, I'm going to stay here because I don't have the cash in my property to compete in this market. So,
is this a situation where banks aren't necessarily willing to lend for the same prices, or is it just that some buyers, they're just not as excited about some of those neighborhoods?
Okay, so now we're getting ready to do a whole nother show.
Sorry, I need to open the can of worms.
I'm just saying because that's, you know, we have, you know, the situation with appraisals and bias, in my opinion, in that industry. We have, you know, lenders who depend on that information, but, you know, because it's not, even if you appraise and these great, if even if you negotiate and you're able to get a lot of money, what I'm finding is that once the appraisal happens, then you're still not able to sell because you're not getting the value. And our buyers are less likely to waive that appraisal contingency. So I had a little small deal in North City where it was a $50,000 purchase price, and they asked for closing costs, and the appraiser came back and $40,000. Couldn't even get the $10,000 for the the $50,000 purchase price. So the question is, why is that? Mm-hmm. What is causing those situations? And so there are some programs that are out here that are starting to look at that situation. There's a program out of Detroit called the Green Lining Fund, and now similar banks and CDFIs have gotten together, and they're looking at that situation here where they can look at the appraisal and say they'll give you 110% over the appraised value so that you can start to uplift some of these areas and have that problem. So there's a lot that needs to be considered, and because we can go on and on and on. We could talk about the school system in the city of St. Louis and
so
and
many factors. How,
yeah, so many factors.
But this is a real thing for some sort of sellers.
It's a real thing, and it's something that I believe collectively the city and the counties, they need to collectively look at this because, we're only as good as the entire region, in my opinion, and there's not enough focus on the development in some of these areas, and that is what drives. That's why you have such a hot Richmond Heights, Clayton area, because you have the best school districts. You have all the amenities, the groceries, the entertainment, the retail, everything there. And then the other communities, you see retail and development leaving. And so, you don't have the ability to see that appreciation and growth. And so then you have loss of wealth. And then so now that you don't have loss of wealth, you can't get an equity loan and you can't pay off bills. And it just is a cycle that, really needs to be looked at.
So some very important issues here beyond just the individual home buyer experience.
Yes.
And as you said, that is a really important topic. This is something we should dig into. I am going to go to the phone lines here. We have Michael, who's calling from St. Louis. Michael, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. One of the things my wife and I moved from Houston about a month ago.
Welcome.
She's military. Thank you. She's military, and we use the VA loan. The VA loan comes with a whole lot of stipulations. Although it's federally guaranteed, it comes with so many stipulations that really kind of dissuades a lot of sellers from going with the VA loan, even though it is a solid loan.
And so, Michael, did you run into trouble as you were trying to use that?
So we thought we would have. We really were. Given the hot market that St. Louis has, is and has become, we couldn't really part with not doing an appraisal, not having an inspection. And these things are what the sellers are kind of eyeing up as, you were talking about earlier, getting rid of some of these contingencies.
Yeah.
And, I was kind of hoping to get some perspective from your guests on the show regarding the use of the VA loan, how they're interpreting it, how they're handling if they have clients that have used the VA loan in this market.
Michael, thank you for that question. I think that's an important topic here. I see both of my guests nodding. Gail, what are your thoughts on these VA loans?
When you have multiple, it's very unfortunate, and he's absolutely right. FHA and VA, they have minimum housing standards, so they look at the appraisal very clearly, and you have to have, they will only provide financing if you have an appraisal, so you cannot waive the appraisal. So if you're looking at two contracts, and one has this waived contingency for the appraisal and the other one doesn't, then clearly the other one will get it in this market. And there are a few lenders out there that are advertising and that you can process a VA in a short period of time. But what I have found is that because of all of the requirements that have that you have with the VA loan, it takes longer to process. So sellers are typically looking for, a 30-day or even less turnaround. And with VA, they tell you going in, we need 60 days.
Hmm.
And sometimes that's not long enough. And sellers just are not willing to wait in this market. So it's tough, but it's a great program to be able to, you know, use your VA benefit and not have to put that money down.
Okay. Well, it's good to know there's some benefits of that. That's too bad about the drawback, since this is a program that should help veterans and help others. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jake is calling from Ferguson. Jake, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hello. Hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's nice to meet you.
My concern was because with so many houses being bought, and specifically I'm in North County, and I know earlier in the conversation we were talking about some communities that's not as invested. I'm personally invested, and I love living here. So I just want to own my first home. And as a first-time home buyer, my concern is a lot of homes are being bought by developers and landlords that can pay in cash, and then that keeps wealth from building in the community. Because I'll give you an example. My landlord owns half the houses on my block, and you know, it's nothing personal. It's just I would like to be a homeowner myself, so I've been saving my money, and you know, at this point, I'm not sure how long I should wait until this bubble goes away, or if there's going to be a renting bubble.
Jake, that's such a tough situation, and I feel like I'm hearing anecdotally that there are these out-of-state investors snapping stuff over, or maybe just investors. They don't have to be out-of-state. Mm-hmm. Creighton, have you seen that?
Yes, we have. Quite a few out-of-state investors have come in, especially from the coast, because, well, St. Louis is very reasonably priced. They're coming in, and we started to see it last year with multifamilies getting 20 to 30 offers on anything from a two-family to a four-family. And they're also coming in, and they're buying up homes that need work. And they're always cash. They have, you know, they can close quickly. They only want to do a sewer lateral inspection, maybe look at the roof. But it's very tough to compete against them.
So what advice would you give someone like Jake? It sounds like he's a younger buyer. This is important to him to get this right. Should he just wait this out? I know no realtor ever wants to say wait it out.
Well, I would never say wait it out. But I think Jake sounds like he's doing some of the right things. He's saving his money. He's stockpiling cash. And I think he might want to look a little bit outside of the current neighborhood that he's interested. A lot of times people will say they're only interested in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, but really when the market is this tight on inventory, he really should broaden his net on where he would be happy living.
Well, Jake, I hope that's some advice for you. We're rooting for you. I hope you're able to find the one and make that deal. Let's go back to the phone lines. Joel is calling from Chesterfield. Joel, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. We moved to Chesterfield, and I have a home that's been on the market since March.
Wow.
And, yeah. And every deal has fallen through.
And do you have any sense of why these deals are falling through? That seems very unusual.
Yes. I don't have the only thing I can come up with is that there must be our agent. I don't understand how it works, because I mean I've sold homes before, but she doesn't want to put a sign in the front yard, and I don't know. She says that because it's vacant, somebody may walk in and
Joel, I'm sorry you're dealing with this situation. Creighton, should Joel maybe get a second opinion on this house?
I think most definitely. I mean, people that say they don't want to have a sign in the yard, well, their neighbors are all mad at them because they think they're either priced too high or priced too low.
And it's ruining the neighbor's future,
and,
right?
You know, you need to cast the biggest net you can, be on the MLS, have the sign in the yard. And one thing I might advise, not knowing the property, is the cheapest thing you can do is paint. Paint is very economical. It makes everything look great. You know, just go through and declutter and that type of thing. Everything they say on television. But paint is the best thing you can do.
Gail,
paint along with landscaping.
Yes. Yeah. Mulch is very cheap.
Yeah.
Some great advice there.
Yeah.
We've heard from some listeners on Twitter. Christina writes, 6 years ago, we house hunted for months and lost a house to a much higher offer. 5 years ago, we bought our current house for $30,000 over asking. I think it's much worse now, but it's been bad for a while. Christine tweets, even when the open house isn't canceled, there are long lines and traffic jams. We had to wait almost 25 minutes in freezing weather last December for an open house. Patrick tweets, my wife and I, who are both 30, are looking looking to buy our first home, but everything we see for sale is ridiculously expensive for the quality and size. We can't fathom dropping so much money on a place we only half like, but we also don't want to keep renting and not build equity. Man, I mean, I just feel for people right now. Gail, what is it going to take to break through this logjam? It just feels like so many people are saying, I'm going to sit this out, but that doesn't help because then their homes aren't coming online.
Yeah. We need more inventory, more inventory. So how do we get that? You know, I know that builders are revving up, but it's going to take a minute for new housing starts to catch up to where we are in the market, but we definitely need new inventory. Back in 2008, you know, some of the builders stopped for a minute because the market was very poor and very bad. And so now they're gearing back up, but still, this hot market is just going to take a minute. So we need new inventory, and we need places for these sellers to move into. So I think that, you know, adjusting, you know, it, as Creighton said, you know, working on your cash, you know, just making sure that your finances are in order so that when you're putting that offer together, it's going to, you know, look the best as you compete with other offers. So
let's go back to the phone lines. Jess is calling from St. Louis. Jess, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What's been your story?
So I just moved back home from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where my husband and I made, we had purchased a house in 2014 for $134,000, quaint little two-bedroom, one-bath, and sold it for $305,000 in March.
Wow. So this isn't just St. Louis. There's a lot of areas that are even hotter.
Oh, my gosh. So fast forward, you know, to trying to buy a home here, and we ended up just, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm heard and seen listening to this call of everyone else having the same experience of lowering my expectations, lowering my search. You know, we wanted a three-bedroom house, and we ended up with a two. Mm-hmm. And my, I guess, question is, do we think that the market is going to continue to rise? Like, will I ever see that success again?
Boy, Jess, that's a great question. And man, if I had a crystal ball right now, Gail, what's your sense?
Well, my sense is that, yes, we will. You know, the market shift. Yeah, I've been in this business long enough to know that, you know, when it was a buyer's market, and the buyers could go in and they can offer $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 less than the purchase price. They could ask the seller to pay closing costs and do. It was a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. And so you see the shifts and the ebbs and lows. And this just happens to be a very strong seller's market for a while. But I do believe that, you know, as, you know, we open up a little bit more with the, you know, every people feeling comfortable about having people come back and forth through their houses, sellers will be more open to selling and moving around.
Creighton, you think that we could see more inventory soon?
We could, but it's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. I think we've got some things that'll be happening with the banks, with forbearance and foreclosures. That'll open a little bit. Unfortunately, some people lost their jobs and things during COVID and may lose their homes. However, rates will be ticking up a bit. That always knocks a few buyers out of the market.
The interest rates there.
The interest rates, exactly. And but I think one of the things that's been kind of key is the millennials have jumped in with the low rates, and they are late to the market. They have been noticeably missed for years, and now they're all in. And it's great to have that group of buyers.
For sure.
But it just adds to the competition, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to see more people deciding to sell. We're going to have to see some more new construction.
Yes, exactly.
Boy, these are both things that could take a while. You are not giving me hope that this bubble is going to pop anytime soon. And we're not saying it's a bubble. That word was not what I meant to use. So, boy, this has been such an interesting conversation today. And I have a feeling that this is not going to be the last time we talk about this. So I want to thank all of our callers for sharing their experiences, and also Creighton Brinson, a realtor at RE/MAX Gold. Thank you so much for joining
My
us
pleasure.
Today. And Gail Brown, president of Brown Court Camp Realty. Thank you.
Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll talk about King Lear in Forest Park. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.